The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hey, this issue 46, Batman Hush, both the movie and the book. Peek behind the curtain. We had a lot of trouble getting going on this podcast, a lot of technical issues, so we apologize if it's a little jittery, shorter than it normally should be. We know we missed out on a bunch of stuff. It got really late. No excuses. We're going to come back stronger and better for this Thursday morning, but we still had a pretty good time. We have a take that we haven't heard a lot of people talk about, and it's one that John and I talk about all the time. It's one of our favorite parts about especially the latest run of Batman. Hey, hopefully it comes out okay. You guys judge for yourself. Let's get into the story. Hey, John, we're back. Happy Memorial. Yeah, happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you, sir.
Another Monday morning.
Yep. They just keep coming. It's like a weekly thing.
How was your Labor Day weekend so far?
So far, so good.
Good.
It's off yesterday.
Oh, yeah? I went down to New York.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Jen and I went down and saw the Bat Out of Hell play.
Oh, Meatloaf?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, we had a good time. Went down for Saturday night.
Awesome.
Came back Sunday. Yeah. That's my anniversary gift to her. 26 years.
Oh, wow. Man, you're moving on up.
Moving on up. Yep, another reference.
I know. Team Wheezy.
There you go. Yeah, so really tired. What is this, take 22 on this one?
It feels like it.
It's been a long night. A
little bit of hiccups getting this one going.
Yeah, yeah. What do we got coming out on Wednesday? Anything of note? Other than House?
Hell is freezing over on Wednesday because Doomsday Clock number 11 is hitting the stands. So
that means, what, 12, the final issue, should be out?
Sometime in 2021. Yeah, I don't even remember when issue 10 came out, but it's been a long time. This one's been put off more than once. But yeah, Doomsday Clock 11 comes out this week. Spawn 300 comes out this week, which is another big... obviously a milestone issue for Spawn, and another book that has like 14 covers coming out. And Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy number one comes out this week. So another pretty good week for release. We've had a lot of good releases the last couple of weeks. And then, of course, House of X number four will be out.
Yep.
So
are you going to read it this week?
Am I going to read it this week?
Yeah, in time for the podcast.
Oh, I'll try.
Hey, today's FOCs, that Wonder Woman, what number was it? The Jenny Frisson?
79, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
That's a really good
I really comic. Liked that. It was very subtle, but it was really nice. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like, some of the covers that we like are really bold.
Yes.
I like the marks on her shield.
Most of her covers are similar to that. Jenny Frisson's
monochromatic
style. Yeah. At least with the Wonder Woman covers. I mean, I've seen her do other books and they look different, but all her Wonder Woman covers have had that same feel to them. But they're all really good. If you notice, they're always on my list of books and covers that I like.
All right. You ready to get to our topic this week, which we forgot to mention at the end of our last podcast?
We did, so people had to be surprised when they tuned in today, or they could have just read the title that downloaded.
Yeah, the titles probably gave it away, but yeah, we're gonna we'll talk about Batman Hush. You and I haven't talked about this at all. I don't know where you land on. I think we talked about the book a while ago privately.
Yeah, we haven't done a show on it.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the book. Let's get into both of them.
All right.
We've done this dance for so long. Like The View? It's the only thing you'll catch tonight.
Is Batman your new boy toy? I have one too.
None of this is my fault. He calls himself Hush.
The events of the past months reach as high as Superman and as low as the Joker. Hush, Batman. Hush.
All right. What did you think of... Let's go with the movie first. And okay. I actually wanted to talk to you about this. Do you want to do a comparison or do you want to let them both stand alone? How do you feel about it?
I mean, I think it'll be hard to have a discussion without talking about some of the comparisons between the book and the movie. But I feel like they both stand on their own. I mean, you definitely don't have to read the book to watch and enjoy the movie or vice versa. You know, anybody that has just watched the movie without reading, you know, maybe is not a comic book reader or anything like that. I mean, it stands on its own 2 feet. Like, you definitely don't need any backstory.
Right.
To watch the movie, so. But I guess I'm going to come down on the side of comparisons because, you know, there's things that they changed in the movie that feels like were just very arbitrary. Like, there's things that were changed for absolutely no reason. And I don't understand why some of the decisions were made, you know, on what was changed or what wasn't. But
okay,
I guess before we even get into any of that, I will say that I did thoroughly enjoy both the book and the movie on their own.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the book and I really enjoyed the movie. Yeah. I think the book is better.
Yes, but that's always the case. Well, mostly always the case, but. But yeah, I read, you know, I'm fresh on both of these because I watched the movie last week and I read the book again last night. So, you know, I hadn't read the book in a long time.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit fuzzy on some of the details of the book while I was watching the movie. But I read the book again last night and it follows it. It's pretty faithful. Like, the movie is fairly faithful to the book. But like I said, there's arbitrary changes that I don't quite understand why they were made.
So... before we get into those, I like the idea, exactly what you said about that it's fairly faithful to the point that when I watched the movie, I hadn't read the book in a while either. And
right.
I actually bought the download back when it came out on iTunes like over a month ago. Right. And when I watched the movie, I was like the difference at the beginning instead of it was Bane, right?
Right.
But if you hadn't read the book in a while, it doesn't jump out at you. You know what I mean?
It didn't. I didn't notice it until I read the book again.
Yeah, well, I kind of was like,
I didn't realize, right?
Because there are slight differences in just the pacing alone, so right. You're kind of picking up on that. But then you're like, oh yeah, it wasn't Bane. But so that's not really a big drawback. It's not a negative. But
it wasn't a negative at all, but like I said, it was a very arbitrary change. Like, why couldn't we have just had Croc in the movie? It wouldn't have changed anything. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the change was made with no good reason, really. It's not like Bane was integral to the story of the movie. They didn't have to make that change. It just felt like it was easier to draw Bane than it was to draw Killer Croc.
Could be.
And so they decided to change it.
What about the possibility that they threw that difference in just right at the beginning just to let you know there are going to be differences? I agree with you. Maybe it was just easier to draw. I don't know. But I like the idea that it's like, look, this isn't going to be a dead ringer to the book. It's not, you know right. what I mean? So it's like, and that kind of sets the tone right there. And it's a harmless change. Harmless.
It was harmless, right.
You know, harmless to the point that you don't even notice it unless you've got the book right, you know, unless you're fresh from the book. Where,
right.
When did this story, oh, this is from like 90s or something?
Yeah, Hush, it's late 90s? Yeah. It's a pretty old story. I mean, it's been around for a while. Hell, it was in Batman when Batman was still in its original run of issue like 608 or something
yeah.
is when it happened. So, you know, this was pre New 52 and pre Rebirth. Like, this is when it was still just Batman, you know, and it hadn't gone off on all these tangents yet. So, like I said, it's pretty old. But yeah, like you said, that was a, you know, it's a change that is harmless. It doesn't, because neither one of them changed the story at all. you know, the story is pretty much the same, whether it's Killer Croc or whether it's Bane. It just felt like I said, a very innocuous change for the sake of changing. And maybe you're right. Maybe they're doing it just to make it stand on its own a little bit.
It's like a tone setter.
But, yeah.
You know, because then you have the, you know, I mean, if we're going to go through all of the changes, we don't have to do that. But,
no,
you know, I did note the first one that off the top of my head that I noticed watching the movie was the change when Batman gets injured.
Right.
And instead of which one was in the book? Batgirl showed up in
the... In the book, it was Huntress.
Right.
And in the movie, it was Batgirl.
Okay.
Now, I think the reason for that change makes a little bit more sense in the continuity of their animated universe. Because in their current animated universe, Batgirl is not Oracle. She is not crippled. You know, Batgirl exists.
Right.
So I think they cut the Oracle character out completely from the movie. So that one I do understand a little bit more, because they are trying to keep these movies in the continuity with each other. You know, they have an animated, you know, cinematic universe happening.
Right.
So that it wouldn't make sense to have Barbara Gordon be Oracle in this situation. So, yes, I did notice that change when I was reading it again last night. Because I was like, man, Huntress wasn't in that movie. Why not?
And
it,
right.
You know, it made sense. And so that is something that was lost a little bit from the movie, though, because the Huntress character in the book was actually kind of interesting throughout the whole story. And that was lost completely from the movie. You know, that's always going to happen because you don't have time in a, you know, this was a 80-minute movie, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, versus a 12-issue story arc in the comic. So something's going to go away regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I thought the artwork in both, I thought was phenomenal. I really enjoyed, obviously, the book with, you know, Jim Lee. That, I mean, I own the Absolute Edition, and I want to read the Absolute Edition. Because it's, but you don't want to like open it up all the way and crease
right.
the pages.
You don't want to crack the spine.
Yeah, but it's just it. I mean, where it's the oversized book, it's just the artwork is just unbelievable.
I mean, this might be heresy to say because you know Batman's had a lot of great artists over the years, but I mean, I think Jim Lee is the definitive Batman artist. I mean, I can't think of another iteration of Batman that's better than Jim Lee. He just, I don't know. I mean, he's a great artist overall. I mean, anything he does is great.
Yeah.
But I think the Jim Lee Batman is the best Batman out there that I've seen. And the artwork in this from start to finish was great.
It's one of those, and that's what I, you know, we talked about this in the past where you have some books where it's the story carries you, some book it's the artwork.
Right.
I really think this is one where the artwork is, probably a little better than the story, although I love this story. I love the Hush story. I know some people it's not their favorite, but everything that this story has, it is just so much. It brings in the whole like the Batcat thing at the beginning,
right?
You know, and like we've said, we're a sucker for that. And then the rest of the story, the mystery of it, which I really enjoyed in the book. And that's part of the reason that I enjoyed the movie so much. And I'm glad they did the changes that they did, because it gave you some of that. Even though you had read the book, you still didn't know. You thought you knew what was going to go on, but they rope-a-doped you in the movie.
Well, they did and they didn't. Like, again, when I first, and I'm assuming we're just going spoiler-free on all of this because we've already started talking about it.
You mean spoilers?
Yeah. You know, spoilers on this. But yes, when I watched the movie again, like I said, you know, prior to rereading the story. So it had been a long time since I read the book. And obviously anybody that reads the book knows that, you know, Tommy Elliot, his friend, was Hush.
Right.
That's a change in the movie. In the movie, you know, it turns out to be the Riddler. And it seemed like that was a change, again, one of those arbitrary changes that didn't need to happen. But upon rereading the book last night, I would argue that the Riddler is Hush in the book, too.
manipulating him, but yeah.
The Riddler is Hush. He is the mastermind. He didn't physically put the bandages on.
Right.
But it wasn't as big of a change as I originally thought it was. Like, I hadn't, you know, like I said, having not read the book in a long time, I kind of forgot the Riddler connection at the end. And in my mind, it was always just Tommy. But when I read it again last night, I realized that it wasn't as big of a change as I originally thought it was. You know, they did cut out a step in the movie.
Yeah, and you're going to do that for time's sake.
Right. I would say that you really got to the same ending, because it was the Riddler in both cases manipulating the entire thing. He was the mastermind. And it really, like I said, it followed a lot closer than I remembered it. Because, you know, it still was the Lazarus Pit. Everything that happened in the movie really did happen in the book. Like I said, I don't think that change was as big as people are making it out to be.
No, but you didn't get the reveal that it was Tommy, which in the book, to be fair, it's like, I knew, like, when I didn't read this as a comic. I read it as the book, right?
Right.
So I knew it was going to be Tommy.
Right.
You know, when you're first read, when the first time I read the book, I'm like, well, you know, you're not even a third or a quarter of the way into the book, and you know it's going to be Tommy, because you're like, where's this character coming from? And all of a sudden, there's a new villain. So there wasn't a big mystery there. Whereas I felt like watching the movie, two things. Watching it, I was like, is this going to be Tommy? Because he acts like a doofus at the beginning when they first meet in the bar. And he's like, oh, it's just me. And he does the two shots by himself. I'm like, are they misleading us? Like, he couldn't be the villain. So you're not really sure. But it's like a future villain wouldn't be so dumb or act that way. So I felt like maybe they were like leading us away. Like, oh, maybe if you haven't read the book, you'd never suspect him. But then at the end, I thought, when I said the rope-a-dope, is they actually dug him up for no reason in the movie other than just to hang him there so that the Riddler could do one more riddle.
Right.
You know, it's like with the riddle about friends. But it's like there was actually no purpose of digging him up.
No, there wasn't. Well, and again, the whole story.
Well, other than to lead the viewer to think, like, if you've read the book, you think, oh, he's not really dead. You know what I mean? And then it turns out, nope, he's really dead.
Well, and that was the whole thing. Like, that is the one big thing that they cut out of the movie, though, is because he never turned out to be, like, he was never a villain in any capacity in the movie.
Right.
Like, there was never, he was never not Bruce's friend, you know what I mean? It was like, that whole aspect of the story was cut out. And that's part of what I don't understand, like, why they got rid of all of that. Like I said, the Riddler being Hush, I guess that doesn't bother me as much, but I don't know why they took out that whole resentment of Bruce, all of that happened in the book with Tommy. There was no reason to cut all of that out of the movie. Again, unless it's just for time, unless it was literally just for time's sake.
But look at the movie as it stands. If the book didn't, say you never read the book. The movie stands on its own. So
it does.
Do you need that storyline? Does it add anything more to the story?
It doesn't add anything, it's a big thing to remove.
Right, but in the movie, it's really not even of consequence because Tommy's not Hush.
Right.
So to have that, it would actually be like meaningless. It'd be like, you know what I mean?
That I understand. I guess my question is why? The reason of I don't understand from a storytelling perspective why you choose to cut that completely from the movie in the first place.
You mean Tommy being Hush?
Right, yeah.
Well, I think it's like, so that you have two different entities. You have two different stories, and if you've read the book, you can enjoy both. Some people aren't going to like that because they want a faithful, you know, incarnation. They want a faithful version to the book. But other, you know, when you make a movie out of something, you know, it's not always, you know, the more interesting ways aren't the most, faithful. You're going to change it a little and make it your own.
Right.
So, I thought it was, as we said earlier, it was a pretty faithful
It was, in tone, like, the overall story was faithful. You know, because you get to the end and it's the same ending. You know, it's the Riddler. You know, all of the beats along the way with Poison Ivy and Superman. Like, all of that, it all happened. So, again, it was very faithful. But, like I said, there was a lot of stuff that was changed or omitted that, I don't know, like I said, just don't make a lot of sense to me as why they would take that out, you know, take those things out.
I'm exhausted. No, I think you just take those out to make a new story. It's the same story, but you're making a new story. So, like, for instance, you had, what was in the movie, you had Clayface in prison as, who was it? He played the Riddler. Remember, they thought they had the Riddler in prison?
Yeah, okay. I was like, I can't remember what he played.
Right. But in the book, Clayface was...
Tommy. He was the dead body. I mean, partially. I mean, he was in it more than once.
Right. But... No, but he was Jason.
Right. Right. Again, he first appeared as the corpse of Tommy Elliot.
Right.
That's where the corpse came from. Because they make the comment, and when they say go back and look at the crime scene, and you'll find the, you know, bits of clay or whatever on the ground.
Right.
But then he comes back. He's trying to lead Batman to believe that Hush is Jason Todd.
Right. Which is which at the time of Hush is the first appearance of Jason Todd.
Right.
You know.
Right. Because he hadn't been brought back
yet.
Yeah. Obviously, he hadn't come back to life yet. So, yeah, that was the first time we see, that's the first time we see the idea that Jason Todd has been brought back to life and has an animosity towards Batman for what happened to him, you know?
Right.
You know, obviously he met his untimely demise at the hands of the Joker, and Batman didn't get there in time to save him.
Right.
So... you would think that if you were able to come back from that, you might have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder.
But what I thought was interesting is in the book, obviously, because they didn't reference this at all in the movie, but in the book, Batman says one of the reasons he knew it wasn't him is because Jason knew how much Batman cared for him, even at the very end. He still knew. And I think that story is still played out.
Right.
That's the other part. Like, you had to remove that story, that part of the story, because, like you said, in continuity with the animated series.
Right. Jason Todd is back.
He's already back.
Right.
So, I mean, I suppose they could have put it in and made it like, you know, Red Hood went completely nuts. But I didn't mind that they left that out at all.
No, that was fine. And like I said, I do understand. I understand some of those changes in relation to the, like I said, the universe they're building. Because they also changed, you know, in the movie, it's Damian Robin versus the book where it's Tim Drake Robin. Because Damian doesn't exist at that point in the comics.
Right.
So, like, those changes make sense and they don't bother me at all because that literally changes nothing
right.
in the story. It doesn't matter which Robin it is. You know, that stuff I understand. And you're right, I understand them leaving out the, you know, Jason Todd bit because in the current continuity that wouldn't play with Batman because he already knows he's come back to life. So, like I said, there's lots of things that I do understand about the changes, but there's other changes.
So what changes did you, like, really not like? Not just not understand, but was there anything you didn't like?
No, none of it specifically bothered me. You know, it's just, it's puzzle. Like I said, it just, I question why they were made. Like I said, there's no reason story-wise why Croc was changed to Bane. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt the story, so it's
right.
Not,
that's just what
not
I said.
Really
it doesn't bother
about.
Me.
Right.
Like none of them bother me in isolation. None of them really bother me. I could care less, really, if it was Bane or Croc.
Well, and that's why I asked at the beginning, like, do we compare them? Because I think both stories are great stories that stand on their own. But
they are.
But I think the hard thing to do is, I mean. there's a lot of people that like both. You know, I've heard a lot of good reviews on the movie, but I've heard a lot of people complain about the movie as well, that thought it didn't do enough to be faithful to the comic. I get both sides of it. I just think you can enjoy both and have them be separate entities on their own. And like you said, they stand on their own.
They do stand on their own. I just feel like this is an awful short podcast if we just come on and say, yes, I like the book and the movie, and that's it. Because there's nothing to talk about if you're not doing some kind of comparison between the two. You know, we would have been done 27 minutes ago, you know?
That's what I was trying to do. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I just feel like there's no conversation if you're not discussing the, you know.
You're right. So one of the things that I really liked, and one of the things I'm sure that you liked in this story that we could talk about, is when I had watched this, I hadn't read the book in a while, and I totally forgot that Selina didn't know Bruce was Batman.
Right. At that time,
she
did not.
Exactly. And it's like, so watching it, it's like, I'm like, oh. And then when he finally tells her in the movie again, I was like, that's right. That's how long ago this was. And I thought that was, because we've done so much, you and I, you know, talking privately and, you know, talking about Tom King's run and the whole Batcat thing. And then just watching this and going back and seeing the beginning of that relationship for all intents and purposes.
Right.
And then I thought that was a lot of fun. I thought they did a great job in the movie. They ended it a little differently where she breaks it off instead of him. And what do you think that means for the continuity of the animation? Do you think that they're going to have, do you think they're potentially going to bring more of that in?
Well, I'm not really sure, because I don't know what storylines are going to adapt going forward that's going to bring her back into the fold necessarily.
What about the potential of whatever's going on with Tom King now, they eventually make an animated feature?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't
that
know
would be
what...
Obviously, that would be a while from now.
Right. I don't know what storylines they would adapt next. I don't know what their next slate of movies are. Like, I don't, that they have coming out that would bring that relationship back into the forefront. I'm not saying that there isn't one. I literally don't know what they've got planned for their upcoming slate. Well, other than, actually, we did mention last week that they have the Death of the Family storyline.
Yep.
Which they're going to be adapting. Now, like, obviously, if you go back to the comic run, she plays absolutely no part in that story at all.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying. So that doesn't mean they can't adapt it necessarily to make her be part of the current story. But I'm not quite sure how they would do it. Because it's still the Jason Todd Robin that I would imagine is going to be killed in the movie. And that would be going back in time as far as their animated universe goes.
Yeah.
So in that movie, I don't necessarily think they bring the relationship back up. But the cat's out of the bag, no pun intended, as far as the identity and, you know, whatever goes forward in that universe, she knows that Bruce is Batman. You know, they have that relationship that started. So there's no putting that back in the bag. Like, they're not going to be able to go back and undo that. So obviously they'll address it in some way, I think, going forward. But I don't know what storylines they would potentially bring that back into. What I thought was interesting about all of that is this is a case where I feel like the movie was a little bit deeper than the book, even when it came to that. Because
their relationship, you mean?
Yeah, I feel like in the movie, like, he agonized more over revealing his identity to her than he did in the... Like, in the book, it just seemed like he's talking about it on one panel, and the next panel, he's pulling his mask off, and it didn't feel like he gave it as much thought in the book as he did in the movie.
Well, you know why, though? I think the other part is, in the movie, he had his own scene. So what I mean by that is, it's like, well, one, you had Dick telling him that you need to tell her the truth. So you have that scene. Then you have him at her apartment And it was, that was a, you know, a pretty powerful scene of him walking up to her and taking it off. And then she says, "Are you sure?" And then she does it for him. And it was a big reveal in the movie. Whereas in the book, the reveal was just as big, but it was shared on the same page as the reveal of Hush.
Right.
You know what I mean? So your focus isn't just on that. You're actually going to actually, your focus is more on the reveal of Hush because you already know who he is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't come off as a powerful thing because the only one that's a surprise to is her in the panel. You're not surprised. Your focus is on the other half of the page. So, you know what I mean?
So, well, but I also think part of what made it more impactful in the movie is that she had two separate relationships with him in
yes.
the movie.
Yes.
She was very attracted to Bruce, and they had a relationship happening. And yet, she also had this relationship with Batman that at the time she didn't know were different people.
Right.
And she was conflicted, almost like the Lois and Superman and Clark thing, too.
Right.
There was always this love triangle happening between two people. And it was the same kind of thing in the movie here where, you know, she wasn't sure who she really liked more. She wasn't sure if she liked Bruce. Like, cause she would have been able to break it off with Batman and just be with Bruce. And I think the opposite was also true. So the reveal in the movie where she finds out she's in love with the same man twice, I think was more impactful than it was in the comic.
And a relief.
In the comic, well, yeah. Because in the comic, there was no relationship with Bruce at all. Like, there was...
Right.
They hardly even knew each other, you know? So I think that made it more powerful in the movie
yep.
as well.
Yep.
And I think that's why it mattered more. And I liked that. I liked that dynamic that they built in the movie with that.
Yeah, and that's... I'm hoping they go forward with that in future animated features.
I guess if they decide to adapt the Tom King storyline, they actually have to get married because they have to be different than the books. So
yeah,
the big twist would be that they actually get married at the end, which would be interesting.
I would love to see that. I mean, have the wedding done as a movie. Like, there's some stuff going that goes on there leading up to that with the Joker and
there's some crazy things
and funny too, but. I don't know.
I mean, that storyline all the way up until the non-event of the wedding,
yeah,
but all the issues leading up to it were awesome. I mean, there was some really good stuff that happened. All that interaction between the Joker and Selina in the church, you know, before the wedding was great. The all that stuff with the Joker popping into that random dude's house looking for his invitation to the wedding was awesome. Like I said, there was some really cool stuff going on there that would make a very interesting movie.
But I wonder how that would play with the... You and I are like suckers for that. We love that storyline, but I feel like a lot of people don't. And like, what would you call the movie? You know, if you called it The Wedding or you called it, you know...
No, I honestly don't think it's going to happen. I just brought it up so that I could make that comment that they would have to be different by actually making the wedding, making them go through with it. And I mean, I know you'd probably want to see the Nightmare series as a movie, but you know, I feel like it would be three times longer than it needs to be.
So, I don't know if I would like to see that as a, can you imagine that as a movie? Oh
no, but what I think might be good, and I'm not 100% sure yet, cause it's not actually done, but this City of Bane storyline that's going on right now.
Yep.
Might actually make a pretty good movie, because you got a lot of stuff going on here with Thomas and a lot of things that we don't even know what's going on yet. But like I said, that would definitely be good. And even the beginning arc of the Rebirth, like with the Gotham Girl and Gotham storyline, would also make a pretty good movie. And that would, you know, you could definitely bring the Catwoman relationship in, as part of that as well. So. I think there are some current storylines that would make some pretty good, you know, that would make a good animated feature. And that would be where you could showcase the relationship between them going forward.
So how do you compare this to other Batman animated features?
Well, I mean, that's hard to say. Like, I still don't think it's as good as the Dark Knight adaptation that they did. I think that movie was better than this.
It was, but it was... That one was, like, dead on.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was,
like,
very faithful.
Yeah, that one was dead on. Wasn't, was Year One?
Year One was pretty close. Was pretty good, too.
I thought they were both, like, almost, like, literally, like, verbatim. Like, if you had the book out, you'd follow right along. It was something crazy like that. Which is great when you're going through it, but at the end, you're like, there's not really a lot there.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just moving pictures now.
Well, again, I would argue, like what you said earlier, they just stand on their own.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch those movies without ever having read those books,
oh, yeah,
you wouldn't miss anything. You would say that was a great movie.
Yeah.
So I think you have to judge them, you know, again, you'd have to judge them on their own merits.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen The Killing Joke, despite the fact that I own it.
Nah.
I haven't watched it. But I do know, I know a lot of the changes that were made.
Yeah,
in that movie compared to the book, and I'm not a fan of those changes necessarily. But, I haven't seen that one to compare. So I would say this was pretty good overall, but I think the Dark Knight adaptation was better for sure.
I liked Under the Red Hood.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was one of my favorites. I'd put this right with that one.
Yeah?
Yeah. I liked Under the Red. I found that to be very entertaining.
Yes.
But to really nerd out on this, so I watched it, like I said, I bought it off of Apple iTunes, watched it on that version, and then I watched it, the free version, on DC Universe. And I gotta say, both of them have excellent picture and sound quality.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to hammer anybody, if they have poor sound quality, I want to give
props when they have good.
And watching it the other day on the DC Universe app, and DC Universe is streaming in 4K now with 5.1. They don't have Atmos, but 5.1 sound. And it was very, very well done. The sound the sound for this was, I don't know what you thought, but
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
like I said, my system doesn't rival yours by any means, but it's still better than the average home TV setup, and it sounded pretty good.
Yeah, and did you notice, I don't know how high up you had the volume, but did you notice the violins? I got a very Game of Thrones feel out of this score.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If go back and... just watch a few scenes, and you'll hear the violin, and it sounded like, you know that, I'm not going to try and duplicate it, but you'll know what I mean. It's like, especially since I mentioned it,
you can cut it in post, you can put the sound in there.
Yeah, right. I thought it was very well done, a lot of good sound effects, and a lot of fun, they do a really good job on their animated features anyways.
Yeah.
But this one was really well done.
I agree.
All right. Is that all we got?
I think so.
All right. Yeah, we fumbled around. It took us a long time to get this thing going tonight.
Yeah.
It's been a rough
night. Yeah. I'm not sure that this is our best work, but
see,
we'll see how it goes.
It's the pressures of being in the network. We're dropping the ball here.
I'm gonna trust that the mythical post that we always talk about happens and brings this thing back to life.
I'll try.
But we'll see.
Yeah. All right, so we got a few books coming up this Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we'll hit it. We'll be back Thursday, and we'll try to come back as strong as ever.
All right.
And don't forget to check out the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. You can subscribe to all the Nerdy Legion podcasts at thenerdylegion.com. But also, please go to iTunes and subscribe if you're not already. And if you haven't already, please rate and review on iTunes. That's getting to be more and more important to us.
Yeah.
If we can't get 5 stars... hey, just tweet at us at brightside_chat. Let us know what we can do to earn 5 stars, and then we'll see what we can do. A lot of ideas have come from our listeners. For instance, the timestamps. One of our listeners let us know that would be a good idea, so we did it. And, yeah, So let us know what we could do to do it better, and we'll see if we can. How's that sound, John? Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, I gotta get to bed.
All right.
Take it easy.
Have a good one.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.